Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you are here as we gather to worship and celebrate. Let's pray as we begin. Lord Jesus Christ, as we open your word today, we ask that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would bring illumination, that you would shine a light on your word so it becomes alive and active and it cuts deep down between soul and spirit, revealing the thoughts and intentions of our very hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would increase our understanding of your truth, that we then might be able to know how to follow you, how to obey your word, how to live it out. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be active inside of us, bringing faith to a greater fervency and greater desire inside of us to do your very will. Lord, I submit myself to you and invite you to speak through my feeble lips to bring your words of edification to your people today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are on a journey as a church during these weeks leading up to Easter, trying to understand in greater detail the role of the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, in our lives, so we can obey him, but more importantly, so that we can cooperate with him and allow him to do his work inside of us. We're fully aware that salvation is wrought inside of an individual, not by that person suddenly thinking, oh, I'm getting smart now, I think I'll pursue God, but rather it's God himself, by the power of his Holy Spirit, doing something inside of us that responds to God. There's not even a possibility of responding if it wasn't for God at work inside of us by the power of his Holy Spirit. So we are celebrating that fact that God initiates salvation. And we're also looking forward to growing an understanding of how day by day the Holy Spirit is at work in us. The Spirit of God is at work in us, guiding us, instructing us, empowering us, doing his stuff inside of our lives so that he gets all the glory. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the text of Gospel of John, chapters 14 and 16, where it specifically talks about how the role of the Holy Spirit as advocate or counselor or teacher is to bring glory to Jesus. So the more and more of the Holy Spirit we have inside of us, or more accurately I should say, the more and more control of us the Holy Spirit has, the more we're going to glorify Christ. The more the Holy Spirit is at work inside of us, the more we're going to love Jesus. A sure mark of a church that has the Holy Spirit ministering in it is that church will just be in love with Jesus. Worship will flow out of the hearts of the people as they are falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. Now, this teaching on the Holy Spirit starts with Jesus' words to us. We're going to look at three texts, and the first one is Acts chapter 1, where Jesus starts us off with a recognition that we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 1, usually I put little stick-em notes, mark my pages in my Bible before I get up here so I can flip to it easily. And I forgot to do that, so I'll be flipping maybe a few pages here. But Acts chapter 1, Jesus' words, verse 4. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then skipping down to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So our first point this morning is we talk about ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to be witnesses of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that works inside of you so that your love for Jesus can flow through you to people around you. Don't ever put up with someone saying that, I saved someone this week. They went and they shared the gospel with somebody. possibly, and that person prayed to ask Christ to be their Savior, and the person is so glad about it, they erroneously let it bubble out of them saying, oh, I saved someone. No. That person can't save anybody, and neither can you, and neither can I. But the Holy Spirit might give us the privilege of being vessels through whom His truth, His word, His love flows, so that a person is brought to a point of decision, a point of recognizing their need, and that person responds in faith and becomes a believer, becomes a newly born, spiritually born individual. When that happens, the Holy Spirit did that, maybe using one of us or someone else we know to bring that about. But it's the Holy Spirit that is the saving agent, bringing that person into faith in Jesus Christ. And being able to be used that way means that the Holy Spirit is at work. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, so that you will be my witnesses. Power so that you will be my witnesses. Sometimes church leaders try to guilt the people. Well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You should do this thing. One of which we're prone to talk about, and rightly so, is that we should be sharing our love for Jesus with the people around us. We should be testifying to what Christ has done in our life. We should be witnessing the reality that we've experienced. But don't ever think that you can do that with any effectiveness without the Holy Spirit being the agent of it, without Him being the one that works through you. He's the one that empowers you to be a witness. So a prayer of ours ought to be, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, today help me be a witness for You. Help me testify about Your work in my life today. I can't do it in my own strength. I don't have enough smarts. I don't have the right words. I'm not persuasive. But You, Holy Spirit, are the one that can activate faith in me and then in the people I'm talking to. So would you pray that on a regular basis? Lord, send Your Holy Spirit to empower me to be a witness of Yours. Send Your Holy Spirit to empower me to be a witness of Yours. Effective ministry of any kind, particularly being a witness, requires a work of the Holy Spirit. Next, look with me at Galatians chapter 5 as we continue to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, there's a big instruction going on as Paul is talking to these people who had started off in their relationship with Christ through faith. But then they had gotten sidetracked. They'd gotten caught up in which kind of rules they had to keep to maintain their sense of intimacy with Christ. And Paul brings great instruction and correction. And he's talking to them about, hey, what you began with, faith, you need to continue with faith. So I encourage you to read the whole text. But for our point this morning, we're going to jump in at verse 16 of chapter 5. And notice the verb he uses about our relationship with the Holy Spirit here and at the end of this passage. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he's talking about this fight that goes on. And he's talking about our inner sin-bent nature. He calls it the flesh. And that flesh wants us to follow its urges, follow its desires, and follow how it wants to do the things of the world and even the things prompted by the enemy. But we, when we're born again, when Christ saves us, we have His Spirit inside of us, living inside of our spirit, and it's the Spirit versus the flesh in this ongoing battle. And he's saying, if you want to win that battle, if you want to win the battle against sin, if you want to be victorious in saying no to the temptations that keep plaguing you, if you want to say no to the things that Satan tries to keep tripping you up with, then you need to walk in the Spirit. He actually goes on to list some of these things. And it's a list of things you hate to read. They're so disgusting. And one of the reasons I hate reading these disgusting things is that I see them in my own life. Maybe you do too. And seeing them and recognizing them enables us to recognize that there is a battle going on. We need to be aware of it, alert to it, so that we can fight, so we can say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit's leading. Verse 19, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's good to be warned. It's good when a light goes off on the dashboard so you're aware there's a problem underneath the hood. And so you can do the corrective steps required. And then he goes into this beautiful contrast. This is what the flesh does in us. Recognize it so you can turn from it, reject it. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit, he goes on to say. Recognize it and celebrate it. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We are absolutely dependent upon the working of the Holy Spirit, not just to be witnesses, like we saw in Acts, but right here in this text, we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to live day by day in that which is of God. So that God's characteristics are being manifest in our life. So that we're able to reject the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So that we're able to say no to sin and yes to God. That daily battle that you and I both face is completely dependent upon the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I know some of you go through a little routine with God. A little dialogue with him. You do something that you know you shouldn't do. So you say to God, God, I'm sorry. I'll try really hard not to do that again. And certainly there's value in wanting to obey. The only problem with that is that in yourself you do not have the ability to crucify the flesh. In yourself, you do not have the ability to say yes to the characteristics of God in your life. A better prayer would be to say, God, I'm sorry. Wash me and fill me anew with your Holy Spirit so that I have the ability to say yes to you. And to focus on the goodness of God, the qualities of God, and pursue him and what he wants rather than focusing on the bad that you're trying to get rid of. See, the key to success in living the Christ-like life is the Spirit of Christ doing it through you. As we say yes, moment by moment, to him. Did you notice the verb? First it said, walk in the Holy Spirit. Here it said, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You can almost picture two people trying to walk, having their steps lined up, being in sync, step by step, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. Maybe goof it up a little bit now and then, left foot, right foot. But It's His cadence that we are to follow. We're to be noticing what He's doing and matching His steps. As He leads out with the right, we want to lead out with the right. As He follows with the left, we want to follow with the left. We want our steps to be in sync with Him. He says, walk in the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That implies it's an ongoing observation. I don't know if you've ever gone for a walk with somebody and you're walking along just enjoying yourself, assuming that that person is right next to you, and all of a sudden you realize she stopped and is looking at flowers. And you just kept on going. It's possible to do that with the Holy Spirit. It's possible that He is coming to a pause and He wants you to pause with Him. And if you're not watching, you might be unaware of that. Or it's possible that you stopped to look at something you should have been and He's continuing to go on. All of a sudden you're way behind and you got to run and catch up. But our daily, moment by moment, key to success in the Christian life is walking with, keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Maybe a prayer of yours throughout the day ought to be, God, open my eyes to see Your Spirit and stay in step with Him. Open my eyes to see Your Spirit so I may stay in step with Him. So how does the Holy Spirit empower us? He empowers us to be witnesses. Here in Galatians, He empowers us to live out the Christian life, to say no to sin and say yes to righteousness. One more passage I'd like you to look at with me this morning as we continue to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in empowering us to live Christ-like lives and do His ministry is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians are explaining all different aspects of what it means to walk in, keep in step with, be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here specifically in the section we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7, he's going to be talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's a Greek word, phanerosis. It talks about the appearing of, the making visible of the Holy Spirit's activity so that the Holy Spirit can make Christ obvious to us. And he's going to list a number of ways. I think there's nine of them, if I remember the number right. Nine different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Nine different ways the Holy Spirit reveals Himself. Nine different ways the Holy Spirit shows His power. Nine different ways the Holy Spirit does something amongst the people of God so that the people of God are made more aware of the presence of Christ. And as you read this list, there's a couple of things that might happen to you. You might say, well, have I seen these? Or have any of these been at work in my life? Or there might even be a reaction like, wait a minute, I don't like some of these. But let me encourage you to step back a little bit from those reactions and simply say, these are ways the Holy Spirit shows up so that Jesus gets glory and celebrate that He does these things. Also, as we read those, you want to have a mindset, well, these are valid things that God did, but I'm not going to force any of them. There's nothing in there that says, try really hard to do these. There's nothing in here that says that if you follow steps A, B, C, and D, these will happen in your life. No, these are things God does by His Spirit to manifest Himself so that He gets glory. He's the agent of them, not us. He's the initiator of them, not us. He's the one that brings them about. So we simply can say, thank You, God, when they show up. It might be okay to say, Lord, do Your stuff amongst us. Be manifest here amongst us so that You get glory. But it's not things that we force. Just like the other texts we read, it's a work of the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses, to give us victory over sin, and now He shows up in our gatherings so that Christ is glorified. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Now to each one," that's key right there, "each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He, the Spirit, distributes them to each one just as He determines." Did you hear the word Spirit a few times there? Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. He does it. It's His work. And so we simply say, "Spirit, do your work amongst us. Do your work in me. Do your work in her. Do your work in that group and in this group. But amongst us, we want you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to be presently working, manifesting, so that our attention is brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ." In the devotional book we're reading for Lent, written by a friend of mine, Fred Hartley, he says this in this coming week's readings. If your children do not encounter the manifest presence of God, they will walk away from the faith. And then he, in the next chapter, talks about teenagers and says, if your teenagers do not encounter the manifest presence, the reality of God, they'll walk away from it. What he's getting at there is that precepts, instructions, rules, social expectations, religious traditions will not keep a young person in a dynamic relationship with a living God. Only a personal encounter with the living God will keep a person pursuing God. And so as we talk about ways the Holy Spirit works, and particularly looking at this list in Corinthians, we want to say, God, do your work amongst us so that Jesus gets made more manifest and He gets more glory, so that people are drawn to you. I've been in situations where, through our times of prayer, God has healed somebody. You know what the human reaction can be when that happens? God, that was so cool. Now, next Sunday, when we gather, let's make sure you do that again, God. I'll do everything I did that time the same exact way, so you'll come ahead, or you'll come along and do exactly the same thing again, Lord. Let's prescribe this. Let's script it out. Let's make sure it happens again so that next Sunday everyone's really thrilled by that too, and they'll think really good of me. I tell you, that happens easily. And the focus becomes on what God did rather than on God. And there's great danger in that. And whenever you think about abuses and things going off track in different church settings, it's usually because humans tried to replicate what God did. I think that's one of the reasons why when Jesus healed people, He did it different almost every single time. One time He uses spit, one time He uses mud, one time He just prays, one time He casts out a demon that was causing the sickness. It was different all the time. So that we don't get into this idea that we just got to follow steps A, B, C, D and make it happen again. And keep putting the focus on the thing rather than on our God. So here's our challenge as a congregation. To be people who pursue God with all that we have. Heart, mind, soul, body. We want to pursue Him and have Him be our the center of our attention. Him be the one we're adoring. Him be the one we're seeking. and invite Him by the power of His Spirit to make us witnesses, by the power of His Spirit to give us victory over sin and temptation, and to give us the manifestations of His presence amongst us so that people say, God is amongst them. God is at work. I want more of God. I believe when a group of people is filled moment by moment, walking step by step with the Holy Spirit, that they exude a love for Jesus, and that God knits them into unity. The things that the Spirit does amongst them don't divide, but rather brings them together, saying, God is at work. So we're going to love each other all the more, we're going to pray for each other all the more, and we're going to celebrate what God is doing. See, we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We can't start the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We can't keep the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We can't do Christian things without the Holy Spirit. We need Him. Jesus said, wait. Don't start. Don't go anywhere. Wait till you receive the Holy Spirit, power from on high. And then you will live out the Christian life as witnesses. Then you'll be able to keep in step with the Holy Spirit and get victory over sin. Then you'll be able to experience His manifestations amongst you so that He is the one that gets all the glory. Let's run after Him and invite Him by the power of His Spirit to be at work in each and every one of our lives. Let's pray. We affirm, Lord Jesus Christ, our dependence upon You. We affirm, Almighty Heavenly Father, that You are the one whom we are giving our lives to, and we are fully dependent upon. So send Your Holy Spirit to freshly impact each and every one of us. As You say in Ephesians, we are to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we say, fill us now. Fill us afresh. Fill us again. We confess that so often we put our eyes on things other than You. Sometimes it's the good things You've done, but we get so fascinated with those things that we're not following You, the author of those very things. So we confess that. We confess our weakness and the way that flesh gets in the way and ego gets in the way, pride gets in the way, trying to control things gets in the way. But we turn from that and we turn towards You. God, would You move upon each heart now this morning? Would You move upon each and every individual listening here together, that we might be sensitive to Your Holy Spirit, open to Your Holy Spirit, receiving a fresh work of Your Holy Spirit. Make us Your witnesses. Give us victory over sin. Do Your work amongst us. And pour out Your gifts so that we might be people growing deeper and deeper in love with You, and so that the people around us might be drawn to the reason for the hope that lies within us. We pray this in Jesus' name.